Welcome back to another edition of Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is the hump day edition of Ball Don't Lie, and we got a lot to get into. The Mavs in the Western Conference Finals facing off against the Warriors. We'll preview that. We'll also break down the Eastern Conference Finals, which actually started last night. The Heat with a big win over the Celtics. We'll also talk about the NBA draft lottery. I know my man Patrick's really excited about that, talking about the future prospects for the San Antonio Spurs. So we'll get that in. A Rangers report coming up next segment at 3:30. So we'll talk some Major League Baseball. Rangers with a win on the winning streak. Love that, baby. Also, I'll cram in some Astros discussion there. You know I got to do it. Go Stros! Also, the Flex at 3:45. We'll talk Texas football. Good news on the rumor, in the rumor mill for the Longhorns about the wide receiver position. Not Jordan Addison, though, but it is still good news. We'll also get into Bleacher Report listing one of the Longhorns as a player ready to silence the critics. The Big 12 transfer quarterbacks poised to have a breakout season. Yes, there's a Longhorn on that list, so we'll get to all of that and more. And we'll call, of course, we'll get into some Texas baseball discussion, too, coming up with a big win. We'll do that as well. Before we get to it, let's introduce you to the rest of the crew. He was a second-round pick for the Montreal Expos, but a first-round pick for the Austin Radio Network. He originally committed to the University of Texas, but decided to forego the 40 acres to chase his dream in the cheese. Pimping ain't easy, but for this man, it is a breeze. He is my man and yours, Mike Hardball Hard. What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Hump day. We here for it, baby, and that's what we're ready to do. I can't wait to get into this show today. There's so much to cover. Mavs are going to take their trip so they can get ready to play for the championship. That's right. I said it. We'll get into it a little bit more, but let me get into this right now. He hails from H-Town with the get down. He's a lifetime Longhorn and a proud card-carrying member of DBU. Legendary Longhorn Derek Johnson said he's the best cover corner he'd ever seen. He's a former NFL DB. We got to see his card a little while ago. That still has a passion for film study. He's not a fan of white condiments, but he is a fan of you, the listeners. He is Rod Babers.
Thank you for the intro, brother. How sweet it is. I appreciate that. Let's not waste any time introducing the real MVP. It would not happen without him. He's the Idealionaire, one of the highest, hardest working members on the show. I was going to say that he's one of the highest paid members. I can't say that. One of the hardest working members. I don't know what he makes, but he's underpaid. I don't know that. He's one of the hardest working members of the ARN family, but we're glad that he calls Ball Don't Lie his home. He is the man, Patrick Davis. What's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing good. The pink pong balls didn't go my way last night, but you know what?
Still the highest draft pick since Duncan.
It is. We got three picks in the first round, too.
Yes. Exactly. And if anybody knows how to use that draft capital, it'll be the Spurs. So at least you know they're not going to misuse it or waste it. Yeah. The Spurs will find a way to maximize that value.
That is one good thing about being a Spurs fan.
Yeah, and you know that. So, all right, so we'll talk about that, too. We'll talk about the NBA draft lottery a little bit and get my man Patrick's thoughts. I'm a Rockets fan, so, I mean, there's some interest there as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we'll get into the NBA draft lottery a little bit. Before we start talking about the NBA and getting into it, I want to talk some Texas baseball just really quickly with you. I'm sure you got a chance. You didn't get a chance to go to the game because you know what? Let's start there. Let's start with a good note for you because you've been going through some struggles.
You've had
a nightmare customer service situation going on for almost 2 months now.
Seems like it.
And are we finally done? Is it resolved?
Yes. Let me just tell you right now.
Finally got some furniture.
We finally got some furniture. Now we can really talk about it. Your boy can sit down comfortably. In the other part of the house. Because, see, that's the problem. I sat there, and I've been so mad about this thing, but I walked into the store. Where's your manager? Didn't go all the way. I just said, look, I know it's not your fault. I know it's not that person's fault. I get it's not this person's fault.
Not their fault.
I need resolution.
Mm-hmm. I need answers.
And when you go to the manager, you get resolution.
Told you to ask for the manager.
You did. You did.
Telling you. It works.
So I did it. And by the time we got off the show early yesterday, the time I pulled up at my house, they were unloading. Things were great.
Oh, they were unloading when you got to the crib.
Right when I got to the
crib.
Wow. Yeah.
Did you recognize the guys?
Oh, yeah, I recognized.
It was still some of the same guys you've had interaction with. Okay.
And I told him, and he was like, amigo. And I was like, amigo. So he got it all in the house, got everything taken care of. And it was just like, man, he even told me, He's like, keep the pillows.
Keep the pillows. Like, we need the wrong color.
I told him, I'm keeping the pillows.
So what you going? I guess you can do whatever the hell you want with them pillows.
Hey, it actually looks pretty good. The way we got to mess, you know, mix and match it.
Now you started to like them pillows.
Oh, I'm like, man. Matter of fact, I might go over there today and see if I can buy
a bed. See, all right. I'm glad you got everything settled. That's good news, man.
Yeah,
I know you've been dealing with that for a little while. But I want to ask you really quickly before we get into the NBA.
Yeah.
Texas baseball with a win over Sam Houston State. Mm-hmm. They start a series versus Kansas coming up later on, but big win, 9-2, and Ivan Melendez continues to go on the tear.
Hey,
is he going to win player of the year?
If he doesn't, it's going to be a travesty, because the things that he's been able to do all year, I've been talking to scouts, I've been talking to former players, and just kind of trying to wrap my head about it. I did the Harsh Knocks Life on it about a week ago when he was getting ready to really try to ascend into the record books for the University of Texas. And the way that I've talked about it is, let's not forget, they were off for a week.
Yeah, it was a while.
They were off
focused on academics and finals and stuff.
And then the first at bat, he hits a ball over the scoreboard after being out for a week.
I mean, hey, he was fresh.
Yeah,
what do you mean? He was ready.
And that's the one thing, and I know we'll get into it a little bit later, but that's the one thing that I'm looking at for this Texas baseball team to be able to go on a run. That's a great way to start it yesterday. Going against a team like Sam Houston, who's, you know, they're going to bring their best every time they play the University of Texas. But it was very impressive the way all those guys came back.
It happened early, though, right?
Yeah, 7 runs in the first inning. Kind of reminds you of the Houston Astros, don't forget. We'll talk about them a little bit later. But you sit there and you look at what they've been doing and you go, okay. And the bullpen pitch. You asked me what was going to be one of the keys.
You said you got to tinker with the pitching still.
That's right. You got to make sure that happens where they can throw strikes. And that's exactly what they did. They had a little hiccup here and there, but they were able to wear out the baseball. And that's a great sign going in to tomorrow as they host Kansas for the last series of the regular season and the last games possibly at UT this year. So make sure you get out to the ballpark. I'll be on the call tomorrow. With Craig Way.
Family affair.
It's a family affair. That's
beautiful
right.
Thing. That's matter of fact, we're going to be out there.
We're going to be at the ballpark tomorrow as well.
We get to hang out and do the show there. That's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
So we're looking forward to that. And, man, honestly, Ivan Melendez is worth the price of admission.
By himself.
Trying to see that guy three more times. Or I guess guaranteed to see him three more times here at UFCU. Okay, so we'll get to probably some more baseball talk coming up a little later on. What you got in Harsh Knock Life, actually?
Well, today it's going to be a little. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit more about baseball, but this is going to be the other side, the dark side of baseball. And then something else is going to be happening at the Dell Diamond that we as baseball purists, I'm not so sure about this, but a lot of fans have been waiting for this moment.
Nice. Okay, we'll get into that in Rod's round of the day. I'm talking Cowboys. Cowboys are actually one of the best teams in the NFL when it comes to maximizing this specific kind of value.
Okay.
I'll talk about that in Rod's round of the day. We'll do that at 5:30. Harsh Knock Life coming up at 4:30. We got the Flex at 3:45. Rangers Report at 3:30. So we are jam-packed in the show today, and that is a great thing. Let's start with the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, gentlemen, and I believe you picked the Heat.
I did.
Harsh, I picked the Celtics. Patrick, you picked the Heat or the Celtics? You picked the Heat as well. And you know what? We had this discussion yesterday, and I was torn. And you know what? I should have just went with Jimmy. I was torn. We was like, ranked the four best players in the playoffs. Like, I wanted to put Jimmy at 3, end up putting Jimmy at 4. I think we all had Jimmy at 4.
Yep.
Oh, no. I had Jimmy at – no, because I had Steph at 4.
Jimmy at three. Good for, for you. All right, Patrick's the wise one to put Jimmy at 3. Well, don't be disrespecting Jimmy, because we keep disrespecting Jimmy, and then Jimmy just keeps showing up. He had 41 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals. Talk about filling up the stat sheet in the big win for the Miami Heat. And it was really that third quarter. I mean, the third quarter really told the story. It was a competitive game for the first half. half and then in the third quarter. And by the way, Jimmy Butler, a big part of that. He outscored the Celtics on his own in the third quarter.
Yes, he did.
He had 17 points. Celtics had 14 points as a team in the third quarter. Jimmy had 17 points in the third quarter. He was 4-5, 80% from the field in the third quarter, 90% from the free throw line. He was 9 of 10. Just in the third quarter alone, Celtics were abysmal in the third quarter. 2 of 15 from the field, 13%. They did go to the free throw line, 10 of 13, but that's where the separation occurred. And essentially, the Heat outscored Boston 39 to 14 in the third quarter. And Miami has been a really great third quarter team. I went and did some research since. I was like, man, that is a hell of a third quarter. Turns out Miami, they do this all the time. They've won mm-hmm. the third quarter in 11 of the 12 playoff games that they played in. And in the other game, it was a game 5 against Atlanta. They lost the third quarter by 1 point.
Yeah.
So there's something about the halftime adjustments they make, whether it be schematic or whether it just be, hell, whether it be Jimmy, the dog in Jimmy, calling out his teammates, that confrontational leadership, like, hey, y'all playing like blank. Yeah. We need to pick it up. you playing like blank. You. You know what I mean? Because like, that's a guy that leads by example, but also will call out his teammates in a positive way. Right now, the Miami Heat are plus 93. In 144 third quarter minutes, no other team is plus 62 in that same time span. Yeah. So they are really good coming out of the half.
Well, and you think about what this means. We were talking about Jason Tatum. I thought Jason Tatum was one of those guys that I was really excited to watch, and he's going to be one of those players that's transcendent. He's headed in the right direction. But in that second half, he was 1 of 7 from the floor, 14%. From the field, 1 of 5 from three-pointers. He did go 5 of 6 from the free throw line, but he had 6 turnovers in the second half. 6 turnovers in the second half. And that is something that, as a leader, you can't play like that. We talked about how Chris Paul kind of shut himself down after he turned 37. Father Time waits for no one except for Tom Brady. And then you sit there and you look at him and you say, all right, what's going to be next for them? How is he going to adjust? What adjustments is he going to make to the adjustments that Spoelstra and that staff over there are able to make? And they did this, first off, they did that with P.J. Tucker getting hurt on the sideline. And then in Boston's defense, they didn't have Marcus Smart, and they didn't have Al Horford. That's big. Don't know how long they're going to be without Al Horford. They don't know how long they're going to be without Marcus Smart. It looked like he was okay on the sideline, though, the way he was bouncing around and coaching people up and trying to move. Mm. So he might be back the next game. But his leadership and being able to probably – I'm not going to say minimize what Jimmy can do, because those two are going to be going at each other. And those are the confrontations that I keep talking about. Those types of situations, because Jimmy's not backing down. Marcus Smart is not going to back
dogs,
down.
Two guys.
They will go head to head.
Yeah, they got
their
dog in them, both of them.
But that second half was bad for Jason Tatum all the way around.
I mean, we talked about it with Luka, about going on the road and getting down and then forcing things. And that's what you saw with Tatum yesterday, was he once the Heat started to play better basketball and started to force him a little bit more, those shots were going up quicker and quicker, and he's not in his shot. And you have to know, when you're the best player, when we say there's 4 best players left in the NBA in the playoffs and you're one of them, you need to play your game at all times. Stop playing other people. Stop doing whatever else is in your head. And you go, I got to do the whole comeback on myself. You don't.
Right.
Just slow down, take a couple deep breaths, and that's where I think a guy like Marcus Smart can kind of be the energizer bunny for you.
And the calming force a little bit, too.
And like, so you go, oh, I don't want to be – that guy's freaking out over there. I'll go ahead and I'll be Jason Tatum still. So we'll see. But that's one of – man, there's a lot of these young stars right now in the playoffs, and that is a common theme we've seen, is these young stars getting on the road and starting to get flustered in these second halves. And they're going to have to figure something out, because Miami's not going to stop coming at them.
No, they're not. And, you know, Miami is great. And one thing I think that's probably freaked the Boston Celtics out a little bit is the amount of zone that Miami plays. Miami plays a ton of zone, and they play all types. They don't have, like, just one type of zone that they play really well. They'll play a 2-3, a 3-2, 1-2-2.
Yeah, that 1-2-2 threw me off last night because it was like every time they moved the ball, there was two guys at the top of the key.
But they got so many versatile defenders, and hell, you know, they got, I mean, Adebayo is just such a freak of nature anyway, but they got a lot of versatile defenders, and the Celtics haven't seen a lot of zone in the playoffs. And I want to say Spectrum says they've seen under 10 zone possessions in the playoffs. So they haven't seen a lot. And now you go against a team that's probably the best zone defense team potentially in the playoffs, but one of the best in the NBA, period. So I'm with you on the Jason Tatum thing, though. And this is the thing I liked about Jason Tatum. He had added being a kind of floor general to his resume recently. Because when you are the guy that's going to, you know, be considered the best player and you're going to have the high usage rates and the offense is going to flow through you, you got to learn how to distribute as well, not just score in a lot of different ways. And he added, how about this? He was averaged 6.1 assists per contest in the playoffs. That's a career high for him. It's almost two more than he was averaging in the regular season. And five of his 10 highest assist games have come here in the 2022 playoffs.
Right.
So you can tell somebody challenged him too about, hey man, you gotta distribute when you don't have a good shot or a high quality shot, you gotta learn how to create one for someone else.
No doubt about it.
You know what I mean? That's kind of you as a player. That's part of your maturation.
Yeah, especially when they're doubling you and showing you that respect.
Exactly. That means you got an advantage.
The Celtics have that system of, look, if you know the system well enough, you know where everyone's supposed to be.
Exactly.
So even if you can't necessarily see things, you know, I got two guys here. I can see the other three defenders. I know I got a guy in this corner.
Yep.
And so if I drive here, I can kick it out to the corner. When you play zone, you take a lot of that away because you don't know where their defenders are specifically. And so that's one of the reasons you'll see a lot of teams play zone against teams like this, is because we're trying to sit in passing lanes because we know it throws them off. Even if we're not in hard coverage, a guy driving to the basket and knows he's looking to the corner and there's just a guy standing in between them, not guarding either one, that can cause a lot of problems.
Well, you see Jimmy Butler did it twice.
Yeah.
A couple of times, just kind of just shooting the gaps and shooting the lanes, the passing lanes, and then boom, he gets one because he can sit back in zone coverage and really kind of play the ball, and they do a really good job. I mean, Jimmy is just, you know, he really – I'll give some more Jimmy Butler stats because Jimmy Butler came at Jason Tatum. If you think you're the big dog, Jimmy will come at you. Jimmy's that kind of dog. You know, some dogs – Lou is a great dog. Patrick's dog is great. One of the unofficial mascots of the show. Lou is awesome. I can't even picture Lou. Is Lou ever confrontational with other dogs?
No, not really. I mean, like, he'll play with other dogs, but he wins when he plays with other dogs. But he's playing.
No, some dogs is like, no, I'm the big dog here, and I need every big dog to submit to me. So everybody knows I'm the big dog. That's Jimmy Butler. He's that kind of dog. And you can't even bring those dogs. You got to muzzle those dogs.
Can't be around
other dogs. That's Jimmy. He went at Jason Tatum a couple of times. And now I'm saying Tatum submitted, but Tatum did not. He wasn't the best version of himself when Jimmy came at him. Quick, some freaky Jimmy Butler stats, because a bunch of them. He scored 41 points, 63% shooting from the field. He became the eighth player in the shot clock era with at least 5 40-plus point playoff games while shooting at least 60% from the field. He's the third such game for him this postseason, by the way. He's balling this postseason.
And I'm sure you're about to get to this stat about it.
So he's tied now with Charles Barkley and Hakeem Olajuwon, Hakeem the Dream.
Mm-hmm,
But the only guys with more games than he have of 40-plus point playoff games shooting at least 60% from the field in the shot clock era. Bernard King with six and Kareem with six. Shaq did it eight times, and then Michael Jordan done it 10 times, and LeBron James has done it 12 times.
That's a great company.
That's amazing.
That's a great company to be a part of. That's a great part of it.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing that I loved about it. He scored those 41 points without making a three-point shot.
Yeah, that's freaky too.
That's all getting in the mid-range, getting to the bucket, 17 of 18 from the free throw line. That is huge.
Old school, man.
I'm about to show y'all. I know how to play bully ball. I'm going to attack you. I'm going to put you in some bad situations, and I'm going to make you foul me because none of y'all can hold me.
He plays Debo ball.
Yeah.
It's old school, but like I said, he attacks. He's so aggressive. And, they need – you got to match his energy.
You don't
match Jimmy Butler's aggressive energy.
Yeah.
Aggressive, confrontational energy. He's going to punk you. That's what he does. And his team followed his team. They have that identity, too. They have the identity of a dog now.
Well, and that's the thing, though, is you have to look at it and you go, Jason Tatum, you need to set your own energy. This is what superstars do.
Mm-hmm.
Superstars set it. And that's one of the things you'll hear about Tim Duncan all the time. Was Kevin Garnett said, I had to stop talking trash to Tim Duncan. He's the one guy I didn't talk trash to. Because when I do it, he just looked back at me. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't say nothing. He wouldn't do it. He would no sell it, and then he'd score on me. And he's like, it made me more mad because I was doing all that, and he just was himself. And so you're like, when you're a superstar, if you want to go back and you want to talk, then do that. But if you don't, then all you got to do is not speed up, not let them get in your head. And you just go, no, I know I'm better than you. Listen, if we redrafted the league a million times in a row, I'm going to draft it ahead of you every single time. So I'm going to go out there in the court and show it. And Jimmy Butler is the guy that says, I know you're getting drafted ahead of me, but I'm going to prove that it's wrong. Yeah,
those clowns don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Jason Tatum has to walk in there and say and get a little bit more mature during this series to get to that next level of, look, there's a reason why Jimmy Butler is beatable. There's a reason he's been beatable in the past. You just have to let him get in his own head and not in yours.
Yeah. No, it's going to be an interesting series to see what the counter is and how the Celtics adjust. I agree with Harsh, though. If you get Marcus Smart back, we don't know the Al Horford timeline, but
yeah.
I mean, you get some of those pieces back, it will help you on the defensive side because that's really where they need some help because offensively, you know, and I would say the 3-point shot for the Celtics, they're going to have to figure out a counter to at least open up some more spacing because the Miami Heat's perimeter defense is probably one of the best in the playoffs. It's the best. It's definitely the best the Celtics have seen so far.
Yeah.
And so you're not just going to have your way with the 3-point shot.
Yeah, I mean, Horford opens up that a little bit
more. Like I said, you need some of those guys
because
back,
if you have Williams bouncing inside with Bam, and then now you leave Horford a little bit more open room to kind of get to the basket and get a little bit more mid-range.
Let's talk about the Mavs, gentlemen, a little bit, and we'll make our picks official, but I think Harge is already leaning, probably put money on it when he left Vegas.
Hello.
on the Mavs. I will say this. I think it's going to be, you know, because these are actually two really good defensive teams. We don't talk about that because I think all the talk has been about the star power, and there's a ton of it with Luka and Steph and Klay. But from the regular season, these are two top 10 defensive teams. The Golden State Warriors are a top 5 defensive unit, and the Mavs were 7th.
Yep.
Actually, when you start looking at defense, I think they've become a better defense actually in the playoffs than they were in the regular season because they're buying in more, and they played you know two of the better offenses in the NBA. But you look at that, I saw this stat and it was mind blowing. Phoenix, the Suns scored 96 points or fewer 4 times in the first 90 games of the season, and in the last 5. Basically, you look at the last 5 games of the season for them against the Mavs, they averaged a little over 96 points per game.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
And their 3 lowest scoring games of the season were in the series versus the Mavs.
Okay.
So the Mavs defense is a lot more impressive than you think. And actually, you know, the Golden State Warriors offense is not what it used to be.
They don't have the young legs like they used to. That's the thing that I was talking about. When you start looking and trying to break down this game, listen, we know what Steph Curry is. He can rise to the occasion. The biggest problem that they're going to have is Gary Payton II is not on the floor. He's a defensive stopper. Yes, he can create. He can do some other things. But he's not that guy that's going to be able to match up and take away one of the other players. And the other player that we've been looking at the entire time has been Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson has been the X factor, so to speak. But Spencer Dinwiddie, how much confidence is he going to have after the glass performance that he had? Is he going to be able to be that guy that we thought we were going to see at the very beginning, the one that came over in the trade, and we're like, oh, my goodness, Dallas won this trade. They've done an unbelievable job going to get him. And then all of a sudden we get to the playoffs, and then he's not there for them. They're going to need some complementary pieces to finish off this. I think they're going to be able to do so. This might be the best series for Dwight Powell. This might be a perfect matchup for them because they don't have a big – that is going to impose his will against Dwight Powell. That's the other aspect of it. I've been waiting on him. I don't know why I keep talking about this one guy.
You do have a strange obsession with Dwight Powell.
Because I think maybe it's because he's from Stanford, and I think Texas played him, and he made me mad or something like that. I don't know. But there's something about this guy that he is going to have to step up. He keeps staying in the starting lineup because, you know, Patrick was talking about the chemistry, and they don't want to keep him out of there. But the other X factor for me, for the Warriors, Kevon Looney. Why are we going to be able to do that? Is he going to be able to get those loose rebounds, second chance points, keep not letting any of the Mavs get those rebounds? It's going to be a fun series just because of the talent that's going to be out there. We had Steph Curry and our top four players that are left in this series, in the postseason. But are we going to see something from Klay Thompson? Is Klay Thompson going to be able to go on one of those shooting sprees that we've seen him? Has he been working in the lab trying to get himself ready for this moment? They're champions. There's no doubt about it. They have been here, done that. But are they able to overshoot against the Mavs, who is trending up right now?
Who guards Luka?
And that's, I think it's who guards Luka, then who guards Brunson, then who guards the next, and who guards the next? Because you go, all right, Wiggins is guarding, is going to be on Luka, and you're going to put Draymond on Luka. Mm. You're going to have to put both of them on there. But if you put Draymond on Luka, now Maxi Kleber's got free reign because he can shoot over anybody else.
Yep.
And so it's going to be a question.
But he better hit them because we've seen him not shoot well.
I think we're going to see, too, how aggressive Jason Kidd is early in this series, because we saw them wear down the Suns, especially Chris Paul. This is not a young Warriors team anymore. They basically play a six-man rotation for the most part. So if you can get them tired and get their legs out from underneath them, Steph is still going to hit shots at the end of games. That's just what Steph does. But if you can get Klay Thompson not to hit shots, if you can get Wiggins not to hit shots,
true.
If you can get Draymond Green not taking shots, then you get a much better chance to win. And then there's the question of Otto Porter Jr., if he's able to come back and make any impact in this series and at least give them another set of legs. Because right now they're really playing like six guys. They're basically playing their starters in pool.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when they end up losing Gary Payton the second.
That's what I was saying. I mean, that's the other part of it. The one thing about it is the Mavs, they like to slow the game down. They like to be methodical and Luka, you know, slow motion you. But the best part of the Golden State Warriors is when they're running up and down the floor. How much in shape are these guys going to be late if this thing goes into a deep series? Because they're not used to sticking around that long. What was it, 3-1? They won the last series 3-1, and Ja Morant was out. They should have lost the one game, right? When Ja got hurt, they were on the verge of losing that game. Everybody kept saying, oh, they shouldn't even be winning this series. They shouldn't be in it. People are saying that Luka and them should not be in this. Look, they played defense and they stepped up. That's the beauty of it. That's the thing. This is the time where it really doesn't matter how good you are, but are you clicking at the right time? And I think the Mavs are going to put a lot of pressure on the Golden State Warriors.
All right, we'll come back. We'll talk more about the NBA in the 5 o'clock hour. Coming up next, we got your Rangers report. Before we do that, let me tell you about taking it to the next level. That's what everybody's trying to do. You can do that with Bud Light Next. Matter of fact, you can get over the hump on a hump day and head downhill to the weekend with Bud Light Next. Zero carbs, only 80 calories with that full body crisp flavor you've come to know, love, and expect from Bud Light, and it's made with all natural ingredients. 4% alcohol by volume, making the world's best even better. That's what Bud Light Next is all about. It took Bud Light, the world's favorite light beer, to the absolute next level, and that's why they call it Bud Light Next. It's pretty simple. For the active lifestyle on the go, Bud Light Next is perfect, and Austin is a next-level town, and to keep up with the live sports, the live music, the great restaurants on the foodie scene, the great nightlife, you got to take it to the next level, and you can do that with Bud Light Next. So make sure when you're out on the town with your friends and family, happy hour, dinner, watching Austin FC, watching NBA playoffs, whatever you're doing, take it to the next level with Bud Light Next. Brewed for what's next. All right, we'll come right back, get into your Rangers report, and then after that, we'll talk a little bit of Astros. I'll squeeze in some Astros just on the backside, but I promise you, 95% Rangers discussion. All of that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn. All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is a funky hump day right here on 104.9 The Horn. That means my man Patrick is especially funky. He's playing that funky music, white boy, and he's the white boy playing the funky music. He's especially funky, and you can always hit us up. You can give him suggestions on a funky hump day. 512-337-3776, that's the number to the Specs text line. And on a funky hump day, we get into our Rangers report, brought to you by our good friends at Texas Truck and Trailer. Harsh Rangers, man, I gotta tell you, they're starting to feel like they're getting back into the winning ways, because I believe they are three games. I know this is gonna sound crazy, but three games from being 500.
Yeah,
three games under 500, and the last time they were three games under 500, I want to say you have to go back to when they were like 1-4.
Yeah,
something like that.
They're 16-19. You know, they won 6 out of their last 10. They're on a 3-game winning streak.
Hey, man.
They're playing
the
second place Angels. Last night they won the game 10-5, and it was they've done it in all kinds of ways when you look at this team and how they go about their business. They're doing it in spite of certain people not producing at the plate and being able to do what they were supposed to get paid for. But then you also got to look at the pitching staff. The pitching staff, which I thought was going to be one of their Achilles heels, has gotten a lot better. Mm-hmm. They've been very consistent around the plate. They've been getting some good outings from certain pitchers. But, you know, at this point of the season, you got to start looking at the positives. And some of the positives that they are having is certain guys that you expected to start hitting the baseball, like Corey Seager. He hit another home run last night, and he's continuing to do the right things and trending in the right direction. And they did this last night against Reed Detmers, who was the pitcher for the Angels who threw the no-hitter.
Yeah.
So you always want to be the guy that faced him after the no-hitter, because nine times out of ten, he's not going to be that sharp again, because he was too busy partying and enjoying that moment, and I had a good time, and man, let me see what my breaking ball is looking like. Let me try something different. No, didn't work out last night like that. So kudos to the Rangers and them being able to string together some games where they are looking better each step of the way. They've got some stuff on the farm that they've been doing well, too. Tavares, the center fielder for the AAA team here in Round Rock, was named Player of the Month for the Texas Rangers minor league system. He's had some great numbers. A lot of people believe that he should be in the big leagues by now because of some of the other players that are up there that aren't producing, and they believe that his young age and his energy to be able to come up and get a chance to play. So that's something to pay attention to. They're going to try to figure out a best way to bring in guys. Sam Huff, the catcher that I told you, I saw him hit a 500-foot home run.
Yeah.
He got called up because a regular catcher had an elbow problem. So what does he do? He goes up there and goes 3-for-4 and drives in 2. So the farm system is leading them and going to be able to build this organization back up. But right now they're doing some good things.
Yeah, no, that's like I said, the bullpen has been pitching a lot better. We talked about that too, and I think actually they've been getting some decent starting pitching too. They just hadn't been getting the run support, and now you're starting to get some run support. That's why you got a 3-game win streak. That's why they're 3 games within being 500, right?
For
the first time in a long time. I know some people say, "Oh man, that's what do you mean 3 games below 500? That's not something to celebrate." Well, considering where the Rangers were and how they started the season, I think they're trending in the right direction. You can tell that they're the right trajectory. We'll see if they can keep it up because now they're getting a lot more run support. Speaking of run support, go Astros! Astros got a ton of run support. I just got to throw this out there real quick. There were 8 home runs in that Astros-Red Sox game total, 6 by the Astros. They tied a Major League Baseball record for the most home runs in an inning, in the second inning.
Yes.
Ended up as a 9 run inning for them, essentially. you start looking at it. Nathan Uvalde in the first inning got basically 3 outs on 5 pitches, and then the second inning, the Astros had 5 home runs. Jordan Alvarez led off with a home run. He had a home run. Kyle Tucker had a 2-run homer. Jeremy Pena, ain't no fun if your homies can't have none.
Come on, share the love.
He got up in there too with a solo. home run, a 3-run home run by Michael Brantley. Then Yuli got some of that too. Yuli got in and got himself one. So that was a crazy inning. And I'm sad I missed it. Actually, I didn't get a chance to watch it. Like, oh man, I'd love to have been watching that inning. Did you see that live?
Oh, I did. No, I didn't get to see it live.
I did. I got a chance to watch it. That's the other thing too. When you talk about this team and the Astros, and we talked about this earlier, Rod. Not only did Kyle Tucker hit one home run, he hit two home runs last night.
Grand slam.
And one of them was a grand slam.
Yeah, now you're right.
They scored 9 runs in the second, 4 in the fourth, and this pretty much put the game away. And I told you before we left yesterday about Jeremy Peña and having all his family and friends there, and he was just coming off the injury report, so he got a chance to play. And for him to hit a home run in front of everybody, that's what it's all about. That's the fun. Like you said, ain't no fun if the homies can't have none. Especially after that beating. But the funny thing is, Uvaldi, who is a great pitcher, I really love his intensity. He's from Alvin, Texas, home of Nolan Ryan. So he got all the smoke from the Astros.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. There you go. Yep. He had it. That was crazy. I mean, he was feeling himself. He had to be after that first inning. I said 3 outs and 5 pitches. He's like, oh, I'm on my way. I'm about to have a hell of a day. And then the second inning ends up making history, the wrong kind of history.
Yeah, so that's no doubt.
On the mound for the Astros in the game tonight, it's going to be Luis Garcia.
Luis Garcia, yep.
Is it? Okay.
Yep.
The Rockabye Baby.
I kept telling people the other day, I was like, man, what is he doing? But, hey, Lullaby
Baby.
Hey,
man, I'll tell you this.
Kids are now, like, doing. You see kids,
mocking
like, doing
it.
Yeah, doing that online and posting it.
I played it on MLB The Show. I played it. It's the most annoying pitcher to play at because you, like, hit the button and wait 5 minutes for him to get through his whole mechanics. You hit the button again. It was crazy.
You know what? I don't know where the hell you learned that and how you can get to the highest levels with it. I guess if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
People are like, you know what? No, it's working. Just let him do what the hell he wants to do.
Do you see the news on Odorizzi as well?
That's kind of weird.
So Odorizzi, they've said he's already off crutches, that it was best case scenario that he had sprained and strained ligaments in his ankle but did not have an Achilles tear.
Okay. That's the best part about it, that he didn't have the Achilles tear. But it's weird. What in the world happened to him then?
He has not talked to the media since, right?
He said he felt a pop, and that's why he was so hesitant to get on it. Was he felt to pop? But you're like, man, I hate to break. Achilles is one of those things you can walk on.
Right.
Like, because once Kobe pops, it's done.
Kobe made free throws after he popped his Achilles.
It's the mama, though.
Yeah, his mindset mama. Is
but yeah, I feel like, hey, man, if that dude ever throws inside on you, you got to rush the mound but just fall over right away. And he'll just be on the mound like, no, you got me on that one. Right. I did do that.
Because he stayed down.
They stretchered him out.
They put him on a stretcher with a seatbelt.
Like, yeah,
strapped him in.
People thought they were like, man, this may be career ending.
Exactly.
He's like, you know what? Already off crutches.
People had a moment of silence for him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, man, you caused a moment of silence.
Can we have a prayer real quick?
That's good news.
The prayer worked. That's what we got. The prayers worked. There you go.
I'll take it as an Astros fan. I'll take it.
Yeah, you did. That's interesting.
After you was about to get him out of the the rotation.
No, it's good because he was actually one of the best pitchers at the time. He's actually one of your hottest pitchers at the time. And Christian Javier had just had a meltdown previously. So my suggestion that Javier take over for Odorizzi when he was struggling probably would have been a bad idea. Astros actually thought it was a decent idea because they tried it.
Yep.
And they're like, nah, Odorizzi's he's playing really well.
So this weekend, since we have the Rangers report, this weekend the Rangers and the Astros will be taking on each other.
Oh, nice.
It's in Arlington this weekend. So
that's sexy.
Valdez, Javier, Verlander, and Yaquiti will be the starting pitchers that series.
Okay. So. And this is the series. So for the Rangers, they're going for a sweep, I believe, today.
Against,
so if they can get they'd go into it with a lot of momentum and a lot of confidence. And I'm not going to say they have the Astros number or anything like that, but they know the Astros really well.
They
is a rivalry, so anything could happen. They get pretty pumped up to play the Astros too.
For sure.
All right, that's your Rangers report brought to you by Texas Truck and Trailer. All right, we got the Flex segment coming up next. I'll talk about my plans. I got some plans now to get some eyes on these prospects. We'll get into that a little bit and also talk about Flex ATX coming up today.
Yep.
Right after we're done.
Snoop.
So we'll tell you what's happening with my man JJ Dunn and the Flex ATX crew as well. The Flex coming up next, right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn. All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie. It is a funky hump day, and it's I think this song is perfectly appropriate for the flex. I don't know if you were trying to do that or not, but I could see Snoop using a song like this on the flex. So I think it's perfectly appropriate on a funky hump day. The flex segment where we'll talk to you in the future, we'll be talking to you about our watch list that we are creating individually. All the on-air hosts are going to be responsible for scouting their own watch list. So we're having the all-flex team, which is going to be a football team first, but then we're going to expand it. We got to start somewhere. We're going to expand it to all sports. We're starting with football. All the on-air hosts are responsible for a position. We'll have the all-flex team, the best of the best in high school football in the flex area. I don't even know if they've told you exactly what the flex area is. There's a flex area. And obviously, the flex crew is helping us out with this, but the Horn personalities are getting involved too. And the all-flex team will be recognized at a banquet in 2023. They're going to introduce the watch list starting after Memorial Day officially, and then throughout the season we'll be ranking our watch list and we'll be narrowing down those choices to get to the all-flex team. So that's how it works, and I'm looking forward to it this weekend. As a matter of fact, because my man Zach hooked it up, who calls Harge coach, and also Snoop, my man JJ Dunn, they're going out to the 7-on-7 tournament out there at Lake Travis. So yes, I'm gonna go hit it up too. I want to get some eyes on these kids. I told you guys yesterday my scouting approach is going to be 25% the film. I've already watched a ton of film on all these guys. I've been camped out on Huddle for a little bit. 25% production, so the stats need guys to produce. 25% also the eye test. In addition to the film, I want to get out there and just watch them. You know, yep. Watch the guys and watch them play, watch them compete. And then about 15% your accolades, all district honors, that kind of stuff. 10% is your projection to the next level. I don't really care what you project to the next level to be. I'm worried about the guys who are balling right now at this level. So if you're worried about, oh, man, I'm not getting scholarships, I'll never be on the all-flex team. Nope, all you got to do is ball out.
Yep.
You can be on the flex team. I don't care if you're 5'4 and nobody's looking at you. You balling out, you be on the all-flex team, period. So that's what we're looking at, and I'm going to get out to the Lake Travis 7-on-7 tournament this weekend to get some eyes on the guys.
And the other thing about it, too, just because when this list come out doesn't mean that if you're not on the list, you can't get on the list, because this is going to be going on throughout the year.
That's true, too.
Not only that, you can also play your way off the list as well. So don't just try to think that, oh, it's just one way. No. It's all about being able to continue to grow as a player, continue to show up and show out and bring your intensity every single day. So there's a lot that will go into this. A lot of different eyes are going to see a lot of different players, and it's good. If you see your man Rob Babers this weekend, come over and say hello to him. Tell them where to look at your huddle at. We'll figure it all out, man.
No, if you get, I think hardest round of money, because we can't, get eyes on all the kids. We're going to try to get eyes on as many of these young kids as we can to give an accurate evaluation. I'm going to try to make sure I'm doing justice to the scouting report, if at least, and the rankings. But everybody's got their own criteria they're gonna judge by, so everybody's not doing it the way I'm doing it, but I do it a little bit different. So I'm gonna get out there, get a chance to see them, and like I said, we'll give you some more details coming up a little bit later on everything, but just so you know, I'm already putting in the work, and me and Harge, we're gonna be going at it. Making sure that my list is gonna be better than his list. That's just the way that my list gonna be the best list.
Yeah, it is.
Way it goes down, and we need y'all help to make sure, because I'm off about something. I miss somebody on the watch list. You're like, oh, Rob B, man, you ain't seen this dude. You need to go check out his huddle, whatever.
Yep.
You can Specs text on, will be wide open for you. Also, Twitter will be wide open for you.
Yeah, we here.
Yeah, exactly. Hardball Harge. I'm at Rod Baby. So I'm really excited about it. I love working with the Flex guys. They are maniacs. And I mean it in a good way. They work just at a feverish pace. They make everybody feel bad around here. Sometimes I'll come out here late and Snoop and the crew will be working or something. I'll come out here leaving late, or back in the day when we're moving some things around, just so you know.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I'll come out here after the show's over, 7-something o'clock, Flex crew's out there working. Come up here in the morning and record a podcast, and Snoop's up here working. I was like, Snoop, did you go to sleep? Nah, I just went out to hang out with my peeps for a little while and came back up here. Like, yeah. I've heard Snoop say that numerous times. I'm like, that means he got no sleep at all. And that's normal for Snoop.
I was going to say, that's how he rolls.
Yeah, he's passionate, and he's got a hell of a work ethic. And Zach and the guys, Noel and the guys, they do a really good job, too. So shout out to the Flex crew. Excited about working with them. As a matter of fact, the Flex tonight, coming up after we get done, they're going to have, I hope I pronounce the young man's name correctly. If I don't, I apologize. Hit me up on the specs text line and give me a phonetic spelling. Keaton Kubeka. Is it Keaton Kubeka, the wide receiver from Westlake? I believe he's going to be on the show.
Sounds about right.
I heard that on Chad and Trey earlier. So they said he was going to be on the show, and he's 6'3", 200. He's the second leading wide. He was the second leading wide receiver with over 700 yards receiving. So he was the secondary target. 42 receptions, 12 touchdowns. So you're telling me they got Jane Greathouse is like 6'2", 6'3", right?
6'3", yeah.
And they got another dude who's just 6'2", 6'3", casual? 50-50
balls. Let's do them 50-50s. Who going to win that one?
Man. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's pretty wild. Yeah,
Shocking that they won back-to-back-to-back state championships, right?
I guess. No, not at all. No.
I've met
Coach Dodge. We've heard about Club Nick, and we know the quarterback factory that Westlake has become. You know, not shocking at all. Actually, you're right. I shouldn't be acting so surprised, but it's just, you know, it's unfair. It seems when you got to go against wide receivers like that. And hell, Rod B was 5'8" and 3/4. I made him work for it.
Yeah.
Okay, real quick, and that's gonna be on Flex tonight with Snoop and the crew. So we're gonna make sure you tune in for that right after we're done. As a matter of fact, last week they had Peyton Morgan on and Price Morgan.
Yep.
The brothers. Morgan brothers. Yep. Brothers, and they're great too. They were fantastic. So I'd recommend you go check that out if you missed that. The Flex crew always does a great job. All right, let's move on. We'll get into some more discussion, obviously our Flex discussion tomorrow. So, but make sure you go to flexatx.com, FLXATX.com for more details. Coming up next, we got to talk Texas. I know we got people hitting us up from the rumor mill of the Twitterverse about Jordan Addison. We'll discuss. It's crazy how now you have to discuss emojis. Somebody puts out an emoji or puts out some cryptic tweet, and now we have, did you see what Bijan tweeted? Did you see what Lincoln Riley tweeted? It was an emoji. It was a dark emoji. It was a light. It's crazy. It's wild.
It's an emoji.
Yeah, we'll discuss all the emojis. No, Isaiah Hall scrubbed his, apparently, he said he scrubbed his Twitter and scrubbed his social media. So that was a big deal. So we'll discuss social media accounts, what they mean. We'll try to decipher everything. We'll talk about the good news about Isaiah Hall. Also, we'll talk some Texas football. Bleacher Report had a list of players who are ready to silence their critics. They listed a Longhorn there, Big 12 transfer quarterbacks poised to have a breakout season. There's a Longhorn listed on that list we want to get into, and also a Pro Football Focus, a list of top 2023 draft prospects. Got some Longhorns listed there. So we're talking Longhorn football. We'll go behind the burnt orange curtain, have some fun on a hump day, and also a funky hump day right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.